Hey, this is Elizabeth.
This is Keisha.
Hi, this is Leslie Sullivan, and welcome to the Mustard Seed Podcast.
Okay, welcome back. We are here around the table. We're going to do something a little different today. And to start that, it's just going to be Keisha and I today. Leslie was unable to make it with us. But we're going to kind of deviate from our normal routine and of doing the books of the Bible and the women of the Bible. And we're going to kind of take a look at just kind of the basics of Christianity. What makes us Christians? And kind of take a look also kind of how to be a Christian without the legalism. Kind of looking at what legalism in church looks like. And kind of just exploring that. And we're going to touch on a lot of different things. Like, we're going to look at the Apostles' Creed and how that kind of really lays out how, you know, how Christians should be. And, like, where that is in the Bible to show where we can find where the apostles have laid out and Jesus has laid out what we need to do in order to make sure that he knows who we are when we get up there.
You know, it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. It's always good to always look back at the basics, look back at the gospel, you know, because that's the key to our salvation.
It is. You know, I called... You know, we touched on this a little bit at our women's ministry at church, you know, and I coined it as, you know, this is Christianity without the legalism. So this is straight from the Bible. This isn't looking at any church doctrine. This isn't going off any denomination, any sect, anything other than what was laid forth to us by Jesus, by Peter, by Paul, by James, by Jude. You know, where it matters.
Yeah.
It's what matters.
You know, through history and stuff, when you get to different Christian religions, different churches and stuff, a lot of it comes down to routine, rituals, you know, and it's okay, but that's not what we have to focus on.
Exactly. You know, I think some of those tools had a really good thought behind it, you know, and that's where some church doctrine came about. We're like, we know people will fall into sin more if they're consuming alcohol, and sometimes dancing leads to lustful thoughts, right? So there was likely, and I didn't do a lot of history, like looking into the reason of why things are in things, but it kind of shows, like, there was a good idea, but when it kind of starts defining that you can't really be saved or that you can't really be a member of that church or considered a Christian, if you attend that church, if you do these things, then that's where we kind of becoming like a Pharisee teaching you.
Yeah. And it does a lot of times go back to, it's almost like Jesus has made it so easy for us. That we're like, well, okay, I believe he died for our sins. I believe he's done all this. But, you know, I've also got to do A, B, and C, and D so I can go to heaven. And that's just not the case.
Right. Exactly. So it's that we're looking at the salvation issues and comparing them to the non-salvation issues.
Yeah. And that gets to also, when you think that way, then it's not just Jesus's grace, the gets us into heaven. It's you're trying to make it about you.
Yep.
I did this so I get to go to heaven, which is not the case, because otherwise there's no way we could get there.
Yeah. You know, and in Matthew 15:9 and in Mark 7:7, both, so they both say the exact same, depending on what, you know, the translation might be different, but they're the same verse. Because Jesus was warning against following man-made doctrine and not the God-ordained instructions. And, you know, and it says, their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. So I think it's again, I think it was a good idea by the church to have these guidelines, to have these, like, hey, this is kind of how you should maybe look and act and, you know, portray yourself. But when you become, when it becomes part of the church's doctrine of how you can, it's a little different.
And it's something, you know, that's, it's easy to fall into, and you can see it. I mean, as like, it's right in Acts, as soon as Jesus ascended, they're already arguing about, oh, well, you have to still be circumcised. You still have to do this. You still have to do that. When, and I mean, the disciples had to sit down and be like, no.
Well, even the disciples, you know, that had fallen short a little bit in that, because there's that time when Paul had to call out Peter, like, hey, you're still, you are still allowing these, the Jewish Christians to tell the Gentile Christians, and I'm paraphrasing, because those are not his words, you know, that they had to be circumcised, when you and I both know that's not how, that's not what he said.
Exactly.
So why are you all of a sudden, for lack of a better, he was conforming to the majority, even though he knew the truth. He was allowing it, because it was a non-salvation issue, but they were making it a salvation issue.
Exactly. And same thing when it came down to what you ate, what was clean and unclean. And so, yeah, it just came down to, they had a tradition that they thought, because now we're including these Gentiles, they have to do what we do, when that wasn't the case, because at that point, it's what Jesus did for us.
I think, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, I think it has to be hard for them to have been spending their entire lives since the, well, I would say dawn of creation, but since the Ten Commandments came from Moses. You know, this is what you've been, this is what you've been doing. You have all these rules. You have everything. So you have them having all the rules. They, every time they sinned, they had to atone for it. They had to sacrifice. They had to do, you had rules. You had to be circumcised. All of these things, I guess that wasn't just since Moses, but you know what I mean? Like, it is Old Testament, right? You're doing this since as far back as your religion goes, this was the rules. And then Jesus came and said, just kidding. You know, like, I came so you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
And that's gotta be hard.
Yeah.
Cause now they're in this routine and they've been ingrained in them. Like, you're going to go to hell,
you know,
if you're not doing these things. Like, you're not going to be with God if you're not doing all of these commandments.
Yeah.
But yet it was just hard for them, I think, to wrap their head around the fact that what Jesus did wiped it completely out.
To really fully accept that gift that he gave us. But yeah, exactly. And because with the animal sacrifices, they had to do it over and over and over and over. And man, if I had to sacrifice something for every single bad thought that I had, especially on the way to work this morning, you know, or trying to get my kids out of the house, it would not be good.
No, I
I wouldn't have enough animals.
No, I 100% agree with that. Like, I don't have, I don't know, maybe it'd make you try harder because you have, like, you only have a limited supply.
Well, you know, it's, what is it? Is it Romans 12:2, I think, where it talks about how you need to renew your brain, your mind every day. And that's hard. But, you know, it goes back to, that's my verse right now, because that's what I need to work on.
I was like, that was good. Like, I don't know if I can't quote verses that well. I'm like, you are right, because it says, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is good and pleasing and perfect will of God. You're so good.
Well, that's because that's been my go for 2 years.
No shame in that. There's no shame.
That was my verse I picked out for myself 2 New Year's ago. It brought over to this year.
I need to start picking out verses every year. I think that's a really great idea. Like, what, or, you know, pray about it. Lord, what do you want? What do I need to work on? Show me a verse.
Yeah.
Show me a chapter. Show me a book. You know, yeah. Like, what do I need to work on, Lord?
Yeah. Which is what makes Christianity, this process of sanctification, which I'm kind of getting ahead of myself a little bit too, but makes it so amazing because it's all here.
Yes.
We just have to, quote unquote, do the work.
Do the work, and you have to listen. Use your discernment, but listen to the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit and yeah. how you're being led.
Yeah. You know, it kind of goes back to also, like, when we was talking about different churches and different how some churches, some people are very legalistic. It all comes back to what's in the Bible. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't follow scripture, then you don't need it.
Right. And I don't want to knock, you know, the any churches, you know, if you feel like that's what you need to do and you, mm-hmm. you are comfortable there, that is, I understand that. Because sometimes having a ritual, having a tradition, mm-hmm. and having those guidelines help.
Yeah.
You know, when you know what your downfalls are, you know, it's good to stay, mm-hmm. you know, on the path that you know is going to keep you where you're supposed to be. Yeah. But it's when you're condemning others for not following your path.
Yeah.
That makes you, that then that kind of starts getting a little, you're muddying some waters. You're doing some Pharisee type yeah. situations, and you're putting your sin mm-hmm. and your, what God is telling you to work on somebody else. And that mm-hmm. might, that's not right. Yeah,
exactly. Because one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're working on, like you were saying, for everyone is different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what I struggle with is not what you struggle with.
Right. So let's take it back. Like, how about it, Steve? Let's back it up. Is that how Steve says it? So let's go ahead and let's look at the Apostles' Creed. Because the Apostles' Creed now is some churches, part of their service, they say this. They did it in the Lutheran churches that I attended with Steve and I know, and Leslie. Some Catholic churches do it.
Mm-hmm. I know a lot of Methodists have mm-hmm. a lot of rituals.
You know, I know that even the Baptist church that we mm-hmm. attended in Florida, it wasn't part of everyday service, but mm-hmm. it was talked about and like, hey, this is kind of like a stepping stone. Like, here's how you kind of, mm-hmm. this is our faith, right? So it was used. So previously, the Apostles' Creed was said to be composed by the 12 apostles. Now the creed is thought to have been developed from initial, like, interrogations and, like, catechisms for people receiving instructions to be baptized. So, like, a profession of faith. So the early churches were using it as, do you believe this? This is what we believe, and then you're baptized, and then you're part of that church, or you're part of the Christian family. So the Apostles' Creed, it says this: I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead, and he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Liz, didn't they get together, around 300 AD or something?
Probably.
With, the Roman emperor.
Oh, yeah, with Nero.
Not Nero.
Not Nero. Yes. Oh, gosh. We talked about this last summer.
It starts with a C.
Yes.
I'll never think of it.
It's going to be, what's stupid is I can see it because we talked about this when we talked about the Trinity. But it's when they did the Nicene Creed.
Constantine,
yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't going to get that unless I looked it up.
No, I don't blame you. But that's when they...
Oh, yes.
I don't think the Apostles' Creed is part of that. It was more of the Nicene Creed that they kind of started at that point.
Okay.
And lots of doctrine kind of came about. That's when they chose Easter.
Yeah.
Like that. So, and then that's when they kind of sat down and said, this is what the Christians are going... Like...
Yeah.
A lot of doctrine came from that. But I don't...
It wasn't the same.
I think so.
I was getting it confused in my head.
I could be wrong.
No, you're right. You're right.
But the Nicene Creed and the Apostles' Creed are similar.
Yeah.
And I actually, when we talked about it last year at Women's Ministry, I remember thinking, this isn't what I remember saying. And it was because it was the Nicene Creed and not the Apostles' Creed. So,
yeah.
No judgment. Zoned because I did the same thing.
I got that confused, but even that, it was kind of the same thing as like an Acts when they had to get back together and say, okay, wait a second.
Yes.
You know, some of us is saying that you need to be circumcised. Some is saying that you don't need to be circumcised. Some mm-hmm. saying you need to stay away from certain foods. What does Jesus say?
Yeah. So if we start to break it down, we just go, the first line, like, I believe God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I mean, you're going straight back Genesis 1:1, mm-hmm. right? And we have a lot of verses. We will not read them all. We'll give you all the references, and, you know, I can put this in the notes. We can do, like, show notes and everything, and I can post it on Facebook as well, like, in our group mm-hmm. afterwards, so you guys can get all the references for this if you're listening to podcasts like I do and you're nowhere near a pen and paper and you're walking yeah. or you're in the car.
And I'll never remember that.
Yeah, exactly. So I have a hard time. I can't just sit and listen to a podcast because, you know, you don't have anything to look at.
Yeah.
You know, so I have to be doing something. But yeah, if I want to write it down, I have to be home and doing something instead of out and doing something.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you have Genesis 1:1, that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, and then if you just keep going, you have, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. So who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. I mean, you can go to, you look at Luke 1:34-35. And Mary's saying, Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I'm a virgin. And the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby will be born, will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. And then Luke 2:5-7, you know, it talks about the birth of, like, the virgin birth of Jesus. And we keep going into, he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. And you can go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know, that is a crucifixion story is in all three of them. Four of them? There's four. I said all four. I was looking at Luke 23, and I said three instead of four. So it is. It's Luke 23, Matthew 26, Mark 15, and John 19. Now, one of the things that I always had a question about, and Leslie answered some of it for me, like back when I, you know, we kind of became members of the church where I met her at, you know, as far as he descended into hell, you know, that's one I always got hung up on because I don't see that anywhere. You know, you read through every gospel, every resurrection story, everything that you have here, and Acts, you know, when you kind of, you know, Luke goes through some like some of that, even like the ascension and everything, you don't see that. Mm-hmm. Nowhere does it say that he went, you know, to hell. You know, he tells the guy next to him, you'll be with me in paradise. You mm-hmm. know, he doesn't say, I'll see you in a minute. I just got to do a few things first. And so that always confused me. So I went to my grandmother and, you know, like I said, in Leslie, and, you know, nobody could tell me really specifically in the Bible where that was coming from. But I was listening to another podcaster and an author, Felicia Masonheimer. She is the author of Stop Calling Me Beautiful and Every Woman a Theologian. She does not know I'm using her name, but I really enjoyed her books and her podcast. Her podcast is called Verity. And I've quoted stuff on her Facebook page and everything.
And I've started listening to her because of you, and mm-hmm. I really like her. She's
extremely knowledgeable. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And real too. Like mm-hmm. she makes it so you actually understand it.
Yeah.
But she stated that the original Apostles' Creed said that Jesus descended unto death, or he descended unto hell. And hell in this case would mean he's basically exercising his authority over Satan, over the enemy. And it doesn't mean that he was in hell suffering for 3 days. And, you know, the word hell is also like, well, the word for grave is Hades, which, you know, is also how some people, that's what we call hell. So the different words, because it's coming from, you know, a different, you're translating it from its original, you know, Greek or Hebrew or, you know, however it was originally written. So, and I did not look that part up, so please excuse that. But, you know, you're looking at that and it's easy to get it confused. But,
so it kind of comes down to translation.
I think, yeah, and understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So Doug and I sat down about this, because especially when you're talking about it at women's ministry, I want to make sure that I'm on par and I'm not saying anything
mm-hmm.
that he wouldn't stand behind.
Yeah, and he's very Bible-based and very knowledgeable, so.
And that's why I love our church. I love a church that we don't have a doctrine. We have he goes by the Bible and what God mm-hmm. says, and that's what's important. It's like Paul, you're the follower of the way.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much how Doug lives his life.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm so blessed to be a part of that. But he said that paradise was a place where people went when they died who had only done the animal sacrifices. So the animal sacrifices for their sins could not wipe out the whole sin. And so the Sheol in Hades was on the other side of, you know, they were on opposite sides of the gorge, right? So because you're looking at the the parable in Luke 16, 19 to 31, if you're going through the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, you know, you have it to where the rich man was on one side and Lazarus was on the other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they can still see each other.
They can see each other.
There was a curtain in between, but they couldn't, you can't cross it. So, you know, when Jesus died for our sins, he was able to set everybody in that quote-unquote paradise
uh-huh.
free, so that way then they could be in heaven with God the Father.
Yeah. So, showing that not only did he die for our sins future,
mm-hmm.
he also died for all the past sins.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't understand this and had an argument with Ben, which I had to be like, okay, you're right.
Well, shoot. Not how those are supposed to go.
That was our argument Saturday, too. I had to come back and say, okay, you were right. I was wrong.
You know what? Anyway. Lisa, you know, it doesn't always have to happen like that, but it's good when you recognize that it doesn't. I know that it's very, you know, it's few and far between.
Definitely. But, yeah. And it really is an eye-opener about, you know, it kind of goes back to also we talking about the sacrifices and how it wasn't good enough.
Mm-hmm.
It was only good enough to get you to paradise. it wasn't good enough to get you to heaven.
Yeah. And I don't think I ever grasped that in the way that until he, and he, I know he said it during service, but he's looking at me in the eyeballs and we're sitting there talking about it. And I was like, oh
yeah,
you know, it, 'cause he said, he goes, so not only did Jesus die for you, for me, for everybody who came after that, but he died for David. He died for Joseph. He died for Solomon. You know, like he died for everybody that came before him.
Yeah.
You know, and not my thought, just, and this is just random, not random, but is that why he wept when Lazarus passed? Because he knew Lazarus wasn't going to be with his father, because he still had to almost save Lazarus. Like, he knew Lazarus wasn't fully, like, he wasn't
with, he wasn't going to heaven.
Like, yeah, and he was just sitting in paradise.
Yeah.
Not that paradise doesn't sound like that rotten of a place, but
yeah,
it's still not heaven. So I guess when you know the difference, that might be a huge difference, you know? Yeah,
that makes sense. And, you know, maybe thinking also of what he was going to have to go through.
Yeah, well, yeah. To save.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I know, I feel like when he was in the garden praying before he was arrested, you know, that was very agonizing for him because he knew what was coming. Because, you know, wouldn't that any of us be like, oh, I'm dying. I'm going to die. This is going to be horrible. But wasn't just that. He was also taking all the sins on him.
Yeah. I can't. I'm grateful he did, but I can't. I don't know if I'd have the love to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. For anybody that's not in my family, you know. Yeah.
That's what I need to work on.
You know, so if you keep kind of going, you have Hebrews 1:1-5, and you have, it says, Christ's sacrifice once and for all. The old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come and not the things themselves. The sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped, for the worshipers would have been purified once and for all, and their feeling of guilt would have disappeared. But instead, those sacrifices actually reminded them of their sins year after year. For it's not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. That's why when Christ came into the world, he said to God, I have .. right there. So what did he say to God? Hebrews 1-5. So this is Hebrews 10:1-5. So that's what it was. So that's not one, that's a 10. Or it's supposed to be.
Just left after zero.
Yeah, and I knew, it's like, it's funny because I was sitting there reading, like, I think this is the one where I had the wrong one, or at least I knew one was coming.
I remember.
Yeah, I remember happening. This was wrong, and I had it, I fixed it when I had posted this for our women's ministry, but I did not fix it on every sheet that we printed. So here we go. But, so it says, so basically, so verse 5, it says, therefore, he was coming into the world. He said, you did not desire sacrifice and offering, but you did, you prepared a body for me. You know, you did not delight in the whole burnt offering and sin offerings. Then I said, see, it is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God.
So that sums up that legalistic, you know, just that was the answer.
Yeah, that's, Jesus is the answer. So the next part of the Apostles' Creed is the third day he rose again from the dead. So again, we can go to Luke, Matthew, Mark, John and read the resurrection story. I mean, you know, they all say it just differently.
Different, you know, views.
Different views. You know, and then they have, you know, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And from there he will come to judge the living and the dead. So you still have your Gospels. You have Mark and you have Luke, you know. I mean, you also have Acts 1, 10 through 11. And, you know, Hebrews 1, 3. Hebrews 1:3 says, "The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. He sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven." I realize after doing this study, or studying this for women's group, I was like, I need to go through Hebrews.
Yeah.
There's a lot. I'm like, those, the verses that I, like, Doug gave me that other, the one about, you know, the 10, the, you know, 10, 1 through 5. And I was like, oh, dang. You know, I like that. And then now, and even that one, I'm like, whew.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think definitely I need to go through Hebrews.
I'm making a list. I know.
It moved its way up my list, I think. I mean, I know we're going to do Ephesians, and I know we're going to do Armor of God, but
yeah,
Hebrews has got to be up there, I think.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
The next part we have, the I believe in the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, and the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now, again, this is where I got held up. I don't know. And again, this is just me coming from, you know, a very diverse background of denominations, because I've never been Catholic. My grandma Pat is. And she still is, like, she was her whole life and she still is, but that's not something I've ever been. So, but there are versions, and even Doug pointed this out too when we were talking about it, you know, there's versions that say Christian church or universal. So in the original context, the creed did state Catholic, but it meant universal.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't mean what we now know as the Catholic Church.
It pretty much predates
Yes. The
Catholic Church. It's probably where Catholic Church became Catholic Church.
Probably. You know, I wonder if that's why. They're like, well, it means universal, so let's do, you know. But now we kind of look at it a little differently.
Yeah.
From the outside looking in.
Yeah.
So, you know, so when it, so once we have it laid out, then at that point, you know, we kind of know that this is what our core, this is what the Bible shows us.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we believe, you know, and it's mainly just centered around Jesus and having the faith that he is who he said he was. Mm-hmm. And he did what he said he was going to do for the reasons which he said he was doing it for.
Yeah.
Right. So the core, you go through the Gospels and that's where we find our salvation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to have the faith to believe that is where we find the salvation. You keep going into Acts and Romans, Hebrews, and my boy James, you go into those and then you're finding out how that looks.
Yeah.
So here's what it is, but now, you know, especially James, you know, lays it out. Like, this is how it looks.
Yeah.
I mean, and Paul and Peter did too, but
yeah,
I feel like James was very like.
But it's almost like James is like, okay, now you're saved. Now what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because once we're saved, our soul is, it's safe, it's everything's okay, but we still have to learn how to live it. Mm-hmm. And that's the act of becoming sanctified.
Yep.
And I believe, and I agree with you, I think James is a very good book of the Bible to go through to, like, how are we supposed to live. Mm-hmm. And it comes to, you know, if it's if you, you know, in your life start doing stuff because you feel like, well, I need to look like a Christian, I need to do A, B, and C. I need to, you know, go and carry the groceries out for this old lady, mm-hmm. you know. Then it's not where it needs to be. It comes from the Holy Spirit. It changes you, but it's a process.
Yep. And that's why it's you're not saved by your works. You know, you're saved through your faith, but if you have the faith, mm-hmm. it shows through your works.
Yeah.
Because as a Christian, we should show that we're Christians. We shouldn't always have to be proclaiming it from the mountaintops. People should see Jesus in us, in our actions, in the way that we carry ourselves, the way we raise our families, you know, the way that we talk about people or to people.
We don't have to wear a cross necklace to show our faith. Mm-hmm. We don't have to wear the shirt that says, I'm a Christian. You know, it's, mm-hmm. like you said, it's how we live our life. And that's how the Holy Spirit changes us. Mm-hmm. And it shows through. And it becomes Jesus' light that shines through us, not our own.
Because it shows who you're allowing to lead your life.
Yeah.
You know, who you're listening to as far as guiding you mm-hmm. through life. So I would say take the time to read back through James. I know we did it, right? That's what we opened, you know, our podcast up with was James. Mm-hmm. Because all three of us love James. We just love the way that he lays everything out and the way he almost uses that, you know, that 1 Peter 3, you know, 15 through 17. James uses that. Like, I'll guide you, mm-hmm. but I'm going to use gentleness and respect. Like, he's not, you know, James doesn't beat you over the head with the Bible. Mm-hmm. He's saying, look at what Jesus did. Mm-hmm. Look at what he said, you know. Yeah. You know, above all else, love, you know, and
he gives us warning because he knows we're humans and we know, you know, that the tongue is a fire, you know.
If you've been around long enough, you know, we all have that problem.
Exactly. Especially trying to get through a school zone.
Oh, gosh.
At 3 o'clock. Any
zone. Yeah. Any zone. Yeah. I was telling that to my niece when we were driving into town yesterday. I was like, I know that the store is on the right, but these people are going so slow, but I know I can't pass them because I'll miss my turn. And
never going to make it. I know. But, you know, when it comes down and we talk about, you know, back to, like you said, it's, you know, faith without works is death. Mm-hmm. It's not true faith. It should just shine through. But that's when you start getting to the fruit of the Spirit. That's when it mm-hmm. starts coming through you. And that's in Galatians 5:22 and 23. It talks a lot about the fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. But again, that's all part of that sanctification, that process of becoming more like Christ. Mm-hmm. But you know, the number one thing is knowing who Christ is, and that comes through the Gospels. You know, going back to the Gospels and really studying it and seeing it. And you know, sometimes I'm bad about, like, I don't want to read through the Gospels again. You know, I know all the stories, that, mm-hmm. but that is Jesus. That right there is all Jesus, mm-hmm. and that should be our priority.
You know, and that's where you need to have your foundation. That is the foundation of our faith.
Yeah.
Is Jesus.
Yeah.
How he came, why he came, and what he's doing since he's been gone, and who he left when he went to heaven.
Yeah.
For us. You know, that's the difference, you know, and that's why faith needs to start there.
Yeah. And you know, it goes to, you know, probably the one of the most famous Bible verses, John 3:16, for mm-hmm. God so loved the world he gave his one and only son, whoever believes in him shall not die but have eternal life. Mm-hmm. It took my youngest son a year to learn that, but
but he said it tonight at the dinner table when we prayed.
He did. But you know, it comes to that. It comes to Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Mm-hmm. And it has to be, you have to believe it with all your heart. It can't be something you just say.
Nope. And that's the hardest thing. You know, we had talked about this and we wanted to make sure that we turned it also into, like, how do you know you're saved? Mm-hmm. How do I know I'm saved? I can't tell you how many times I've said, am I actually, Lord? Am I saved? Like, am I actually, I feel like I'm doing what you're telling me to do. And I know I'm out here with this platform and within the church and,
oh yeah,
you know, I'm like, but am I just, I don't feel like a false teacher, you know, I don't feel like doing a prosperity gospel. I don't feel like I'm out here leading people astray, but I sometimes, you know, you just feel fake. Like, yeah, like, am I actually doing what I'm supposed to be doing? And I want, you know, it's important to kind of take a look at this. Like, this is, it's what you believe in Jesus. You have to have the faith, like you mm-hmm. stated, you have to have the faith to know what Jesus did for you and believe it.
Yeah.
And then give up your ways.
Yeah.
You know, that's the point of almost of baptism. You're washing away who you were prior. And you're coming up saved. Like, okay, my life, the Holy Spirit's in me. Mm-hmm. I give, you know, I give him full reign to tell me what to do and what not to do. You know, you have to submit to his authority, which I think is easier said than done in some circumstances.
Yeah. And it seems harder in this culture today too. Mm-hmm. You know, you look in past cultures, you had a ruler, you had, you know, mm-hmm. you had someone over you. If you were a servant, then you served, you know, but we live in a culture, it's like, you know, you do what the best is for you. You try to get ahead in the world. No one is higher than you. So for us to really understand how to humble ourselves and become before the Lord and come down to our knees in front of him and what it really means to serve him, mm-hmm. it's like our culture today is trying to get us the opposite, which is, and I shouldn't just say the culture today, it's been like this for eternity. It's why it says, mm-hmm. Don't conform to the world.
Yeah. You know, and it's, I think the minute you think that you have it right, like, you know, I'm 100% saved, I'm going to heaven, I have it all figured out, you don't. Mm-hmm. You know, because that's not, God doesn't want you coming like that.
No.
That means that you feel like you're on his level. You need to understand that we're all sinners. Uh-huh. We just got to recognize our sin, repent of it, and not do it again. Or
yeah.
do everything in our power not to do it again. Yeah. Sometimes it just comes automatically, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're not even thinking. It's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
You know, just snuck right back up on you. You know, I read an article in the Answers in Genesis. There was an article on...
I like Answers in Genesis.
So do I. And the article was, how do I know I'm saved? You know, and it said, you know, he started out and he was like, you know, does this sound like you? You know, and everything he said, I'm like, yes, yes, maybe not that sin, but yes, you know, and so he kind of laid it out, but he had a really good analogy as far as he said, he talked about Bear Grylls. I don't know if you mm-hmm. know. Yeah. Okay. I figured you would because of Ben.
Oh, yeah.
But you never know. But, you know, he says, you know, think about him. Bear Grylls is always dropped in the middle of anywhere, right? The wilderness, the desert, the middle of Antarctica, right? And he has to use his survival skills and teaches us people who would never attempt that.
And eat the nasty stuff.
What you can and cannot eat. But, you know, he does that and he goes, so imagine this. He goes, imagine you're Bear Grylls and you're dropped in the middle of the desert, you know, and you're traveling in a sandstorm and you're going in the right direction. And then all of a sudden it clears, right? And you can see ahead of you and you can see that you are nowhere close to your destination. But you look behind you and you see how far you've already come. And he goes, that's Christianity. That's your salvation. That's your faith. Because mm-hmm. as long as you know that you are still moving in the right direction and you are headed towards that mm-hmm. destination, you know that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Like you're never, I mean, it might be a little disheartening, but you're never going to reach mm-hmm. that full purification, perfection. You're not going to reach it. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, because we're not Jesus.
We're not Jesus, you know, but the fact of the matter is that if you know you're feeling pushed to be better, you know, mm-hmm. and I know I am, and I know, you get to that point where you're like, I know I need to do this. I need to know more about this. I need to be able to quote scripture confidently, you know, to be able to even, I don't need to know every verse, but if I could say at least more than a few without having to even, it's like songs, right? I know the song, but I don't know who sings it.
Yeah.
So you know what? If I can quote the Bible, I don't need to know where it's at. As long as I know what's in there.
As long as you know what it is.
You know? And so, but it's that you're always striving to get to your destination. Yeah. And you always have to celebrate how far you've came.
Yeah. And it's different for everyone. Because I know, you know, I was saved when I was 14 years old mm-hmm. at a funeral. We didn't go to church, you know? I mean, my mom always talked to us about God. She taught us how to pray, but she didn't tell us what we needed to really be saved mm-hmm. until I heard it at a funeral. But I didn't really start walking with God until I was in college. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a good 4 or 5 years after. So, but like you said, it's always a process.
It is. And that's, again, you know, I think why I understand why we have different denominations, why we have different religious sects within the mm-hmm. Christianity religion. Like, I understand that because, again, I feel like it was originally placed there with good intention.
Yeah.
It's just now being used as a salvation issue when they're not.
When it's not.
It's a non-salvation mm-hmm. issue. And you don't always see it like that until you realize what the gospel says. But you also need to go where you're comfortable.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's why it's so important to get into the word, to dig, like the boys say. But it's so, you know, when you're listening to someone that they're preaching, they're talking mm-hmm. from scripture. Because it's, you know, it's like what you talked about a little bit earlier ago, how it talks about Jesus descending into hell. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what you hear all the time. But mm-hmm. like you said, it doesn't actually say that. And when you get down to it, it was, you know, translation.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's important to get into the word. And like you said a while ago, like knowing the verses and knowing, you know, you don't have to know where it's at. But knowing it, Jana, which is Doug's wife, our pastor's wife, she said once during one of the women's meetings about, you know, we live in this world and the devil's, his whole thing is to separate us from God. So as we go, you know, these bad thoughts will come into our brains and the sin always turns back up. But the way you fight it is through scripture.
Mm-hmm. I need to write more scripture down. I need to start having my note cards with me when I'm in the scripture and I uh-huh. highlight the verse and write it down. don't just highlight it. Cause yeah. Okay. I can look back and, you know, and there's times I'll be reading through some of the ones, especially, you know, you go back through Titus, you go back through Jude, and, you know, we dove into that, but then, you know, while we're studying for some of the upcoming ones, like uh-huh. Ephesians, I'm like, oh, well, I had this highlight already. What does that mean? I forgot it. You know, it's like, I forgot. It's like, I want stuff like that speaks to me out. Like mm-hmm. we have stuff that I write, like, and we haven't switched the verse in a very long time, but we write on a chalkboard
uh-huh.
a verse so that way the boys walk by it every day. We walk by it every day and we see it. I like to have it all around so it's always kind of there, but you don't want it to become so... That's why we wanted to switch them around a little bit so it's something new.
Something new.
You're remembering what it is.
Yeah. Since Jana said that, which was probably over a year ago, I'm like, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to... I know what I have problems with and I'm going to find it.
I did buy the James method, like the it's a study. It's more like a diagram, right? So it's a book, and it has it was one of those Facebook, you know, like ads that came about, and it kind of helps you. It's like two pages, right? One is like a circle. Like you're going back in like school, right? It's got a circle and it's got all these little circles around it that all connect, right? So here's your main verse. Let's point out some of the things that you found in it. Like what's it saying? Who's it talking to? And then it makes you, what does a different translation say? Like what does your King James say about this? What does your Message say?
Yeah.
You know, who wrote it? Who'd they write it to?
Yeah.
You know, and it's very, it kind of gets you to kind of think and dig a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm going through the Proverbs 31 wife about that, because I'm like, I really want to know what it says, like what are we, who are we supposed to be in God as a woman, you know. But it's a really good, it's a good tool
when I
get it open.
That sounds really good. I'm gonna have to look into that.
Yeah, to take it back, you know. The whole thing is I personally don't know if we can ever truly know that we're saved, but I know that most Christians' worst fear is to have him say, I never knew you.
Oh yeah.
Like that is the scariest thing I could think of occurring.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And I think that if we realize the severity of that situation, then we're already where we need to be.
Yeah.
You know, we understand that that's a reality. So we have a faith already in Jesus, and we know that, then we're also, I feel like we have that fear, the healthy fear, the respectful fear, not the he's gonna kill me if I do this fear. You know,
if I don't read this verse, then I'm gonna get in a wreck and die.
Exactly. You know, it's that, you know, there, you're move, like I say, you want to strive to be better. You're wanting to be closer to him.
Mm-hmm.
When you have those desires, then you are saved because the Holy Spirit is guiding you.
Is working in you.
Mm-hmm. You're listening.
Yeah.
Or at least you're feeling it. You know, you're discerning. That's what he's saying. Whether you always do what he says.
Yeah.
Like Travis said, how many of us listen to the Holy Spirit every time he tells you to do something? I don't think a single hand went up in our church when he said that. And he was like, how about most of the time? And I think most of us raised our hand about that point. Yeah. And then one guy being funny raised it at, how about never? But, you know, still, I mean, it is. It's about making sure that you're grounded and you know you have your faith and you're trying. You know, once you ask for forgiveness, you're not going back.
Yeah.
It's not, well, I can do this because I can ask for forgiveness.
Yeah. Yeah. It's because you don't want to disappoint God.
Yeah.
And like you said, like your, you know, the analogy you use with Bear Grylls, you know, this is where you come from. This is where you're going, but you're making progress.
Yeah.
You're getting closer to God. You want to.
Yeah.
And it does. It becomes a want. I want to know more. I want to do this. Now, at times, it's like, I don't want to listen to something. I just want to listen to something that's entertaining.
I know.
But, I mean... But once you get into it, you're like, man, this is awesome.
It's such a catch-22 for me, because I'm like, I want to learn, right? So I like to read to learn. So sometimes. I also like to read my murder mysteries. So, but, you know, reading Mere Christianity, reading Every Woman a Theologian. I'm still reading Stop Calling Me Beautiful. Which... I have a hard time, like when I listen to them, because I want to write down, I want to highlight in the book. I want to say, this is important, you know, and that's the hard part. So when I listened to the The gospel comes with a house key. I was listening to it and I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to like stop it, because I need to remember where I was to be able to go home in my physical book and highlight where she was. Yeah. So it's hard, because I'm always like, I don't want to listen to these books while I'm out, because I want to make sure that I can reference it again, because I'm going to forget.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But yet, I also, by the time everything's said and done, you know, you're done working, you're done cooking, you've got whatever little chore that you tried to tackle that day maybe done, or at least the laundry off your bed on the floor, who cares, because you just want to go to bed.
Yeah.
Or just relax. By the time you pick up your book, even if you're reading a book that is for entertainment value, I'm falling asleep after two pages.
Oh, yeah.
Let alone sometimes trying to get my brain to wrap around the stuff I want to learn, you know.
I'm the same way. I've got time going between people's houses to listen to things, but I don't learn as well that way. I'm a visual learner.
Yeah.
So, but it's, you know, I'm the same with, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. I'm reading with Frank Turks and Norman somebody, but it's, because it feels like I'm missing so much. Mm-hmm. And you're right. And I just want to sit there and take notes and highlight and, like, that's a good point.
Yeah, exactly. Write that down. I'm going to put that. I
didn't know that.
Yep. So I think, it's all about, I mean, and we have to, and I have to be better at it, to be taking the time that God needs, that I need to have to be in Him, because I can tell. I can tell when I'm not in the Word, when I'm not, even if it's just studying for this or studying for anything else, you know, if I'm not doing that.
Yeah. And that's honestly why I like doing these podcasts, is because it forces me to study. Mm-hmm. You know, I have to. It's not something that, I'll get around to. It's, you know, I have to do it.
I have to look at this. I have to make sure. You have to be prepared.
Yeah. And my day is so much more stressful if I don't start in the Word. But then life has a way of making you concentrate on what all you have to get done that day, and then you're not taking in the Word when you're even reading it.
Yeah.
So it's one of those we have to just learn to let go.
I read, and I don't know who said it, so I can't quote it, but it wasn't me. She said, I know it was a girl, because a lot of times when you're reading about how Bible studies and stuff, it's always the women telling other women how to study their Bible or what not to do, or it doesn't have to. I know Felicia Mationheimer had said it doesn't have to look like an Instagram post every time you sit to get in the Bible. She says, is that good? Yes, if that's what you can do, and you post it, picture with your coffee and all these things, and I'm guilty of that. I have done that more than once, you know, but it doesn't always have to look like that. Sometimes you getting in the Bible is in between your kids' naps.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you getting into the Bible is on your way to work because you're listening to it, or it's on your lunch break, you know, or it's in the dead night before you go to bed, or when you wake up in the middle of the night for no reason.
Yeah.
You know, you're in the Word, and I, you know, they all look different, and it's all fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but somebody had said it helps them, if you can, to leave your phone in a different room.
Yes. Right? That's the biggest distraction ever.
It is. And, you know, sometimes you can't get rid of it. Like, sometimes it has to be. There are reasons why sometimes in the mornings or whenever you're sitting down to do your quiet time, or just even open up your Bible, it has to be next to you, right? But Satan uses that as a distraction. I know he does, because I'll look up something. I'm like, oh, that's a good idea. And I'll look up something, and the next thing I know, I'm looking at something else, or on a game, or on Pinterest. You know, so all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh, how did I get here when I went to just look this up?
And wasted my whole time that I was supposed to be studying my Bible.
Exactly. You know, but the whole purpose of this podcast is that we just wanted to make sure that we are, you know, we want to be transparent. We want you guys to see what we talk about, what our church talks about, what we believe, you know, but also to help you. Like, this is legitimately what was laid out for us by God, by Jesus. You know, let's take away everything else and this is your focus. Good Lord have mercy. What God tells you to work on, what God tells you to stay away from, what God tells you is important for your salvation is different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's different. Like I said, there's things that don't cause me to stumble.
Yeah.
But might cause somebody else to.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not, there's something to be said of, you know, not causing somebody else to stumble, but you also don't need to conform and just try to make sure that you're doing it to help them, but you don't need to just, that's not your burden. That's not what, for you to carry.
You want to be careful about falling into their sin and it becoming a sin for you or becoming a stumbling block for someone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I mean, it's, so, you know, go to the church that you know you're being fed at.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the church that you feel, you know, I'm gonna say comfortable, but when I say comfortable, I mean you feel like it aligns with how you want to be portrayed, like how you feel you want to,
yeah,
to what church you want to belong to. I don't mean comfortable as in, well, I'm doing exactly what my pastor says, so I know that I'm going to heaven. You know, there's this fine line in comfort. Yeah.
There's,
you know,
comfort, and then you also do want to be uncomfortable.
Yes.
Because you want to be growing in the Spirit. And because we're not Jesus, we do have our own sin. And it should, the message that your pastor is giving you should talk to you.
Mm-hmm. You should walk away and say, whew.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be every time.
Yeah.
You know what? There are times when our pastor, I swear, was sitting at the table with me the night before, or he was in my thoughts, you know, all week, and all of a sudden he's preaching on it.
Oh, yeah.
And how many times, I mean, I have come to him at least, I mean, once every couple months or almost once every Sunday saying, Doug, I really need you to stop getting into my head.
Do you have a microphone in my house?
Well, since he renovated my house, there was some times when I'm like, he must have mics in my house.
Well, he worked on our house too.
See? So. See? Just take a pull. All of those who feel like Doug listens to them, how many houses of yours has he worked on? We kid, Doug. We're joking. but... You know, and it's good, but there are times you're like, oh man, that sermon didn't hit. I didn't feel it. But those are the times when, okay, that one wasn't for you.
Yeah.
You know, you might have still gotten something out of it and you were at church, you know, you were listening. But that one just maybe wasn't meant for you. Still a good lesson to learn. Just might have been your lesson at that moment.
Funny story. I think it was a Wednesday night. Doug was going over talking about what it means to be a Christian kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And one of his verses was my verse, Romans 12:2. And I've got because I'm a note taker.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I always go back and look at it. It just helps me focus in on what he's saying.
Same.
But it's a notebook that a friend gave me that has Bible verses at the bottom of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so help me if that Bible verse wasn't at the bottom of the page I was taking notes on.
I had like, one. Okay, my notebook for church notes had that. And I kept waiting for it to line up and it never did.
That and lined up. And it's not like I heard it and I'm like, oh, that's going to be my verse. This has already been my verse for a year and a half.
So it was just like an emphasis.
Yeah.
That was God putting an exclamation point on that one for you.
It's like, it's time. Renew your mind.
Yep. I might have to steal that for the rest of this year because I need to renew my mind so I can actually start sleeping.
Yeah, it's one of those, it's so easy to give something to God and then take it back. Like, I know you got this, but I'm going to worry about it for a little bit longer.
It's a good, it's that meme of the guy from The Office. I think it's the guy from The Office. It might not be him. anyway, it's a well-known, it's a face that I see enough on enough memes because I can speak fluent meme and GIF. It's one of my favorite ways to communicate, if you know me. But it has him, you know, peeking around like a tree, like just like looking at stuff. And there is one that, you know, it says that like when you're just checking on the thing that you left with the Lord to kind of see how it's going. And I'm like, oh, hi. Yep. You know, and, you know, Steve and I talk about it a lot, and I know you and I have talked about it. You get stuck down the rabbit holes sometimes. It is your brain.
Mm-hmm.
It is a mindset that you're not supposed to be in. Something just triggered you, and the next mm-hmm. thing you know, you're in, like, the pit of despair, right?
Oh, yeah.
You are with...
Yeah.
You're in the Princess Bride. You are in the pit of despair. But...
And, you know, it comes down to that... The devil, he really mm-hmm. rules this world, and his whole thing is to get us away from God,
mm-hmm.
not to grow closer. You know, he's already lost us. He ain't getting us.
Right.
But he can put a wedge.
Yes.
Keep us from living the life God wants us to live.
Absolutely. From doing the works that God wants us to do.
Yeah.
You know, and it's important to understand to have the discernment to know that you're under a spiritual attack. You are mm-hmm. under attack from the evil, the realm, you know, the unseen, the forces of evil that are around us all the time, that the angels are constantly fighting, that your yeah. angel is constantly fighting
yeah.
to try to keep that from entering into your thoughts and entering oh, yeah. into your, you know, your day. But
because he just has to make a spark.
That's all
we need to yep. to go from there.
Exactly. It doesn't need to be a huge thing. It's just one little thing that he knows is going to set you off.
Mm-hmm.
It's that little seed of doubt about yourself. It's about, yeah. or, you know, that little... Just that little thing that somebody said or that somebody did or didn't do, you know, that can just set you off, or the tone that they had.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, you're reevaluating your entire life. You know, I mean, and it's discerning, and it's bringing yourself back. It's bringing it to God. And, you know, Steve and I have talked about it, and I think we've talked about it on here, is putting it in a box almost, in your uh-huh. head, putting it in a box, putting it on a shelf, leaving yeah. it, and walking away.
Yeah. And sometimes it has to be a visual thing for
me. It has to be. I have to literally force myself, and I haven't done this in a long time, and it's probably why some days I'm in the state that I'm in, to take that, to put it, like, to go full Sherlock, right? You're going to your mind palace.
Yeah.
You take your, in my brain, it's like a shoebox.
Mm-hmm.
Open it, put it in, close it, put it on the shelf, shut the closet door, and I'm out.
Yeah.
You know, that's yeah. what it needs, and it stays there. But then, when you revisit it, I have to focus on myself saying, okay, well, now you walk back in and you've taken it off the shelf and you've opened it. Now don't put it back in and put it up.
Put it back in. Lock it.
Yeah, exactly. now you're gonna duct tape it. But... So, you know, it is, and it's the devil knows exactly how to get to you, and mm-hmm. exactly how to bring, again, like you said, he can't take us away from God because we're already mm-hmm. grounded, right? We know who he is. We know that he knows that we listen to him, but he can just ruin your day.
Yeah.
And that's a win for him.
Yep. And keep you from living that life, you know, an abundant life.
Mm-hmm.
Doug talks about living that abundant life all the time. Mm-hmm. And you can't unless you get closer to God.
Yep.
It's always something missing.
Always. So I think the main thing, I know I feel like one of those pastors, like, and finally, in my final point, I feel like I've had that tone like 5 times during this.
Like, one more thing.
One more thing. And I'll close with this. but the one thing I think that's important to remember, as far as, you know, just what we believe and how we're supposed to be as Christians. And again, taking away the nonsense. But we got to look at Mark 12, 29 through 31, where Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And the second is equally important, love your neighbor as yourself. No commandment is greater than these." And that, in a nutshell, is exactly mm-hmm. what we're supposed to do.
Yep. I think that's a great verse to end on.
That is, you can't, it's right there in black and white. This is from Jesus's mouth. This is what we are to do.
Yep.
As Christians.
Period.
Done. Mic drop. Finished. Right? But like we say at the end of all the podcasts, like, listen, we are going over this, and we try not to go over too much time. And I know sometimes we hit closer to an hour than we want, because I know how hard it is for everybody to carve out an hour just to listen to us talk. But, you know, we're giving you the knowledge. We're giving you kind of what we found and what we researched, what we've talked about, you know, when we hang out, or, you know, what spoke to us when we looked at this kind of stuff. We give you these verses so you know where we're at, but also for you guys to go into it and look at them and see how the Holy Spirit speaks to you. You know, like I said, I'll reference these verses in the notes so that way everybody has them if they want to go back and they didn't have a pen and paper. But, you know, connect with us on Facebook, on Instagram, on that's where we are. You can email us. You know, we do have an email it's on the Facebook and everything. So you guys can message us on there. Mm-hmm. You know, we would love, like, we'll talk with you. We will, you know, help. We'll share. We'll commiserate. You know, we'll encourage. You know, that's what we're here for. That's what this platform is for. It's not just for us to make sure we're digging into our Bibles, and it does help, you know.
Yeah.
But it's for us to encourage you and to know, to have you guys all know that we're not perfect. You're not perfect. But we can all be, you know, imperfect in Christ together.
Yeah.
You know, and make sure that we're all doing what we're supposed to do. So we will see you next time.